Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Our next guest, friend of this show, Renaissance man, Mike Yam. You can see him as an anchor on the NFL Network. You can hear his own show on Sirius XM. I join it now and then, and he's got a new podcast project that's out. Yam, what'd you think of the first week, first of all, of the NFL season?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? First of all, like, the college football season and the NFL season have been just remarkable to start off on these first few weeks, and obviously week one on the NFL side. And maybe, John, I feel that way because the Oregon Ducks scored a win that I quite honestly didn't see happening. So thrilled from that perspective. And then the drama that just comes with the NFL. I mean, bookend, you know, with the start on Thursday night football and then what we got on Monday night, it's really been awesome to watch.
Yeah, let's talk about Oregon for a second. Like, you know, you're formerly with the Pac-12 Network, so you know the conference inside and out. Huge win for the conference. George Kliavkov was walking around that stadium, and he was feeling pretty good. You know, he looked good, he felt good, and it was great. There's been mixed results in other parts of the conference, but right now, what's the narrative on the Pac-12?
I think it's a narrative, John, and I don't want to speak for you, but it's something that, you know, I would say over the years when I was at Pac-12 Network, and I know this wasn't necessarily the party line, but I really did believe it, which is why I said it. Parody is awesome on Saturdays. We all love to see it. We all love the drama. It's nice when you don't necessarily know who's going to win these ball games. But the way the sport is set up, the college football playoff is what it's about. So I was never really the biggest fan of the parody. Give me some dominant teams. And I think what's great about the way this season is starting off, it feels ACC-esque, right? Where you have some teams that haven't looked good that maybe we thought would be good. I think Washington's a really good example of that. But we got two teams right now that feel like they are darlings of college football. And that's Oregon, excuse me, and UCLA. And John, when was the last time I could say the words darlings of college football and associate that with the Pac-12? Like, that's just, it hasn't been the case for a really long period of time. And I went from thinking that this league would not have a playoff team to now thinking there's a chance, there's a real chance. And I think Oregon's win against Ohio State allows that to be possible. They bought themselves not only an epic win, but also a little bit of grace, right? Where I didn't think we would have a playoff team because I thought Oregon was the best team, and I didn't think they'd be able to beat Ohio State on the road. They did do that. But coupled with the fact of navigating this conference schedule, like, that's hard, and there's never been a two-loss team. So they actually bought themselves an opportunity, not that I'm advocating or saying it's okay to lose a game, but, my God, you know, if they're a one-loss conference champion with an Ohio State win on the road without some of their best players on defense, that should be good enough to land a playoff spot.
Chip Kelly and UCLA, you may have seen this coming. I thought they were going to turn a corner, but they really turned the corner hard. Is it sustainable at UCLA? Can Chip Kelly be the darlings of the South, you know, 6 weeks from now?
Yeah, especially with the influx, or I shouldn't say influx, especially with the situation at SC being what it is. I mean, that's up in the air right now. Utah, their loss to BYU, that's up in the air. You know, I think ASU's got a really good test this coming week against a BYU team, and I think that'll help shape a little bit more of that narrative. But, yeah, they can absolutely sustain it. You know, that wasn't a fluky win against LSU. They took it to them, and I think that's what's impressed so many people nationally, not just the fact that they won. Same with Oregon. Wire-to-wire win. I'm smiling, John, as I'm saying it. It's awesome just because of all these years being around the conference and being sort of beat up nationally. Now all of a sudden it's like, hey, I saw Jesse Palmer the other day say, UCLA could be a playoff team. What? If you would have said that to me a couple weeks ago, I would have told you were crazy. And, you know, I get to do a show on Sirius XM on Pac-12 Radio. We had guests. We had some of our analysts say they felt good about UCLA. I felt good about progress, but I didn't think the progress would necessarily net out on as many wins as people were talking about. I was definitely wrong on that front. And the way they looked against UCLA is certainly UCLA looking good against LSU is certainly a reason for optimism.
Mike Yam, NFL Network anchor, host of the Pac-12 show on SiriusXM, is our guest. USC changes coaches. We've seen midseason changes before. How do you think this affects USC as a team this season? Will they be better, more dangerous in the next couple weeks, or do they check out and become a less than?
You know, I've talked to a few people, and I've asked them who have been around this team and said, did Clay lose the locker room? And the answer was generally no, which makes me think that as Dante Williams takes over, this is still a team that's got a lot of talent. This is still a team that's got reasons to play really hard for Dante Williams, because let's not forget, associate head coach, so it made sense that he was upgraded to the interim title. By the way, fourth time in the last 8 years now, USC has an interim coach. I mean, that's kind of crazy to put into context when you think about that program and that tradition, and the uncertainty at that spot is a little alarming. But I think when you look at Dante, who was in on some of the recruiting more recently, and certainly Oregon fans know what he was able to do in his time in Eugene, I think there's going to be a lot of reason to play pretty hard. They're absolutely still a threat in that South. I think the biggest thing is, do you still think that they're good enough? I think it's a different question. Will they play hard? The answer is yes. Are they good enough to win that division? I still think the answer is yes, but I think there's bigger threats than we thought in the South.
Mike, everybody looks past Utah. Arizona State gets talked about a little bit, but Washington is struggling really in the North. Jimmy Lake, really struggling in 2 weeks. They can't score any points. What do you see happening there? Or what does Jimmy need to do to fix it?
God, John, if I knew the answer to how to fix it, I would be on Jimmy's staff trying to get one of those paychecks that the coordinators are getting. I think the scary thing right now, John, is you hit the nail on the head. Offensively, this has looked like a big struggle. And I think you look at Jimmy as defensive-minded coach. It was funny, I was on Instagram the other day, and I saw a picture, and it was a bunch of former secondary players from Washington sort of posing for a picture, and they're all Jimmy's guys. And I think to myself, my God, his acumen is so strong on the defensive side, and yet you got an offensive coordinator in John Donovan. And I say to myself, like, what's happening with this offense? Why can't they execute? And this is a team that wasn't anemic last year, right? I mean, look, they only played the four games, and there was problems because of COVID, but there were signs of life. I can't figure out why they're struggling to score offensively, why they're losing battles in the trenches. That was not something that I thought was going to happen with that offensive line. And I think it's easy to point the finger at John Donovan, but I would say, like, macro big picture, you know, last time Washington was having real, real success, you go back to that year they got to the college football playoff, and Jonathan Smith was their offensive coordinator. That team was rolling offensively, and they just haven't been able to get it right since, you know, coach took the job at Oregon State. And I hope they're able to figure it out. I hope at one point later in the season, we look back and say week one was an anomaly. Week two, they just got beat by a team that was probably better than them, but Washington was able to figure it out. I hope we're going to be able to say that, John, but I just don't have a whole lot of confidence based off of the first 2 weeks of the season.
I keep looking at the offense and I go, okay, it's, you know, I think they have talent. I think he needs some offensive ideas. And I don't know if that's an analyst or a consultant or if he makes a coordinator change, but what happens to Jimmy Lake in Washington? You know, how much will he get a wide berth there, or will Jen Cohen, if this isn't working, do you think make a change at the end of the season? Let's say he goes 2-10 and it's just dismal. Does she make a move?
I think if it's 2-10, there's probably a real conversation. I don't even think, John, we're even at the point to have those conversations, which I know sounds weird. Yeah. I think there's a couple things at play here. Number one, Jimmy really is well thought of. I think in coaching circles and certainly within that program, just based off of what he was able to do when Coach Peterson was there, there's a reason why they elevated him. Jimmy was kind of on the short list of you know, being talked to on other jobs. So I thought it was a shrewd move by Jen Cohen to hire him as their head coach. But I think here's the other thing, John, like, because of COVID, and I hate to make this as an excuse, but I just think this is the reality with college athletics. There's there's budget shortfalls, and they were big. And I think that trickles down where I think there's more and more coaches that get a little bit of a longer leash. And you can say, well, Mike, look at the extensions that people got, or look at USC making a move and some other programs. I agree, but I do think Jen's going to be fiercely loyal, even in a bad season. And look, I hope we don't have to even have this conversation. They figure it out, but I just don't think we're there yet.
49ers lose a running back in the opening week. Aaron Rodgers' team gets blown out. Tom Brady does what Tom Brady does. What were your early takeaways and overreactions from week one of the NFL?
There's always a couple of those, right? Those overreactions based off of one game. You know, it's crazy because I still live in San Francisco, and NFL Network's given me some opportunities to cover that team. But I'm at home on Sunday for week one, and I'm tracking multiple games. So, of course, I have the Niners game up. John, I think most people, except for the diehards, like, I just started watching other games and just trying to catch up on some of the other stuff. I see that score on the bottom line. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? I just switched back, and obviously there was a big run, and the Niners end up holding on. But, you know, to me, look, the biggest takeaway, well, there's a few takeaways, but maybe one of the ones that I was so impressed by was Jameis Winston and the success that he had in week one in that Saints offense. To me, that was really awesome to see. I still think Cleveland is going to be a force, trying to get over the hump and take out one of the big boys in Kansas City, and Mahomes is still Mahomes. And I know your audience probably has eyes on some of the haymakers that Russell Wilson was able to throw and lock in some of those grabs, which was just like, wow. I mean, some of those moments are really, really impressive. But, you know, generally speaking, I think we still net out at, you know, the NFC West being still one of these premier divisions, and a division that's going to be really hard for one of these teams to try to take a stranglehold over. Because the Rams and their win, I think the score says one thing, John, but like, that wasn't necessarily a runaway victory that was super dominant either. So I do think the door is open, but the NFC West is going to be a hell of a lot of fun to watch over these next few weeks.
Mike Yam is our guest, NFL Network anchor. Also, catch him on SiriusXM talking Pac-12. You got a podcast out. Explain the NFL. Tell us what that's about.
It is the most, you know, John, you've known me for a few years now. Whenever someone says, do you want to do something? I always say yes. Like, I'm just sort of, yeah, let's just do this because it could be fun, right?
Yeah,
so they ask me, NFL Network, you know, it's a new job, right? And they say, hey, like, do you want to do this podcast? I'm like, yeah, of course, let's roll. Like, this will be awesome. And then I realize, like, what the show is actually about. And I'm like, oh, boy, like, I just took off, like, a bigger bite of responsibility than I thought I was going to have. I thought it was like, oh, yeah, what happened on Sunday? Let's roll. Let's have some fun and talk about it. This is not that type of podcast. So we are diving in really deep. If you're an NFL fan, if you're a football fan, we're sort of nerding out. I don't know how else to explain it. It's questions that are really, in some ways, obscure, but we give you the history around it. So, you know, think about that podcast, like How Stuff Is Made. This is the NFL version. So our first couple episodes are about how every team in the NFL got their name and sort of the traditions and the history around it, which is sort of fascinating for me. But why do we have goalposts? We answer that question. Why is football played on a Monday night? We answer that question. So those are a couple of the episodes that are coming up. The International, we were just taping some of that stuff, yesterday, actually. We're trying to get ahead of things because it really is so well-researched. And, John, it's awesome to have NFL research on your team, or at least me being on their team is probably the better way of describing it, knowing where I am in the pecking order. But it's been a ton of fun to watch, some of these games, and it's been awesome to be a part of a show like this.
Is there a team in the NFL right now that kind of has your attention that, you know, you want to see how they react in week two? Maybe it's the Packers. Do they come back and look better than they did? Are the Saints just that good? Was it a bad day for them? But is there a team in particular that you're really going to watch in week two?
Yeah, I think there's a few of those teams. And the one that comes to mind is the one that we actually get to see ahead of Sunday. And only because I grew up in the Northeast, you know, I'm a Jersey guy. Yeah, I grew up a Giants fan, and I really want to see how this team looks against Washington. I was a little disappointed by the week one results from the G-men that are out there. But I think even bigger picture, if I don't give the homer answer, how some of these young quarterbacks thrive. I mean, 0-3 for some of these rookies that were really well thought of, I think is interesting. And then how about this is – I mean, not for nothing, like, I kind of thought the Colts would look better in week one. Like, I'm not necessarily disappointed that they lost. It's sort of the way that they looked, and it's going to be a big test. I mean, they got the Rams coming into town, and I still think LA is a very talented team that also has something in a win in week number one. I think they have something to prove, too.
Justin Herbert looked pretty good. And I was
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you make of the early part of his career?
Phenomenal, right? I mean, John, you know this. Like, how many people were criticizing him coming out of Oregon? And were like, oh, like, are you really going to use a top 10 pick on him? And they were talking about accuracy issues. Thinking to myself, like, he's going to be good. I'd be lying if I said I knew he was going to be this good, like rookie of the year good and doing some of those things. But, John, I would imagine you smile. I know I do. I would imagine everyone, you know, listening to you right now in Portland is smiling ear to ear. Like, when you see a commercial of Justin Herbert and you think about what he was in that Ducks uniform, what he meant to that team, what he meant to that community, then the criticism that he got ahead of being drafted and now having that much success in his rookie season, being thrusted into that lineup with almost essentially no notice and delivering haymaker after haymaker after haymaker, and him being the reason why he's the face of a franchise. He's the reason why there's optimism surrounding that team that couldn't get over the hump in some of these close games. So it's such a remarkable journey, and in so ways, like, it almost feels a little bit like a storybook because of the amount of success that he had and where sort of those beginnings were. But I know you're thrilled for him, and I can only imagine that the fans in Eugene are absolutely, like, ecstatic. And, you know, what, 2 years ago, I'm sure you weren't seeing, you know, Chargers jerseys in Portland. I bet you see a lot of those now.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because this show now airs statewide, and so you got listeners in Eugene and Springfield and, of course, in Portland, Salem, everywhere in between. But it's interesting that the CBS affiliates in Portland and in Eugene were just hammered with emails and calls from people who wanted to see the Chargers game in week one. And that is a good thing. That's interest, right? You have to love that.
No doubt. I'm also about to bring up something that I probably shouldn't say, but I'll say it anyway. Where was all those folks calling Pac-12 Network and their carriers to try to get that distribution going in a big way when we launched in 2012? Yeah. But no, to your point, it is awesome. And look, NFL's still king on Sundays, and I think it's a testament to what we were just talking about with the appeal that Justin Herbert has. Honestly, how great is it that he's on the West Coast, in California, just still relatively close, right? Like, you can't get it necessarily. There's no team in Portland per se, but it is awesome that he's not necessarily, and he's not playing in, you know, some random market in the middle of the country that really wouldn't allow him to have success. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, the comparisons that immediately come to mind is Marcus Mariota going to the Titans. He seemed like he was over there. Derek Anderson was with the Cleveland Browns. Great Joey ball. Harrington was the Detroit Lions. Akili Smith in Cincinnati. You know, we've not got a chance to see West Coast kids stay on the West Coast. Mike Yam, you keep doing what you do, man. I really appreciate your work. Love what you do and your friendship as well.
I appreciate it. Always good to get an invite from you. And I'm glad everyone's healthy on the home front, too. And, and congratulations. We got a daughter going to Corvallis. Let's go, Beavs. Here we go. So I'm thrilled for you and the family, man. That's
she's
awesome.
Very excited. Hey, by the way, settle a debate for us. I walked by the mirror today, and I looked in the mirror, and I said, you know, I look a little better than I feel. Is it better to look better than you feel or feel better than you look?
It's a great question, because I am knocking on the door of 40 years old in like 2 weeks and counting. So people have been saying, oh, you're 40 now. And I'm like, no, I'm still 39. My body still feels like it's like 50 and 60 at times. It's like the snap, crackle, pop every time I roll out of bed. And, you know, I'm trying to go a little bit harder on the treadmill just to prove to myself. You know, look, it's how about this? There was this famous line about, you know, the difference between coaching, and I forget who it was, but I remember at a Pac-12 media day, we had a coach who said the difference between coaching men in basketball and women in basketball. Men, when he had coached them, it was this idea of you have to play good to feel good. And for his female players, it was they need to feel good in order to play good. I don't know if that answers the question, and I know it doesn't. I just wanted to drop that in there. Can I just be greedy and take both? I want to look and feel good.
I wonder if TV people would say it's better to look better because, you know, you are more visually, you know, you got to present on camera. I think it was Paul Westhead who got asked that because he had coached Oregon women and he had coached coached in the NBA as well.
Exactly. That's exactly. It was definitely coach. And I thank you for reminding me of that. That was definitely him who answered that question. But the TV people, John, and believe me, I have leaned on this heavily over the years. Heavy foundation. The makeup is key. Just throw the makeup on there.
Yeah.
It covers the bed. You don't sleep the night before. It's all good. And you only got to got to turn it on when the red light's on, right? I mean, there's been times we get to commercial break and I just like, my shoulders just sag and I go, okay, here we go, here we go. So it's the magic of TV.
Mike Yam, you're the best. I appreciate you.
Awesome, awesome. Have a good one.
You too. There he is, NFL Network. Check him out on SiriusXM. He talks Pac-12. Love his comment, you know, in particular about, like, you know, we get lost a little bit sometimes in the NFL starting college football on its way, but it was a great week in the NFL for the western part of the United States. And it, I thought it was a really good week in college football for Duck fans and Beaver fans. And, you know, everything was right. Like, I flew home from Columbus, Ohio on Saturday night. I was following the Oregon State game online when I was flying. And
we interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced
Truth. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.